Ain't nobody liking a New Balance except Kawhi Leonard and white supremacists. That's it.
You don't want a pair of slavery ones? Like, you don't want some air races?
I love that. The David Duke threes. Yeah, there it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That is right. Welcome to another spectacular episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep, deep. We spelunk into the pockets of black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Cardi B is in fact short for cardiovascular bronchitis. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, she is the most woke rapper of all time. All she does is yell at people about politics on the internet, tell people to vote, promote lung health, and then put her titties on the internet to shame that mean man who cheated on her. She is woke, she's changing the game, she's inspiring women, and she's making you go see your doctor. Thank you, cardiovascular bronchitis. You're doing the hard work that the rest of us are afraid to do. I am your host, Langston Kerman. I'm excited to be here as always. I have a fantastic guest today. We're going to get right into it. I don't want to sit here and talk bullshit to you aimlessly. I'm alone if there's no guest here. And my guest, oh, she's going to make me feel not alone anymore. She's going to make all that loneliness leave my heart. She's hilarious. You know her from her amazing podcast that comes out every Tuesday called Scam Goddess. So fun. Give it up. My guest, Miss Lacey Mosley.
Hey. Oh, okay. Applauses.
Uh-huh.
You know, a bitch ain't got no applauses in a long time because we in COVID. I can't do live shows.
Well, now a bitch got some applauses. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. I'm a bow.
Your podcast is wonderful. I had the pleasure of doing it recently.
So good.
We talked a lot of shit about chaos in the world, and I'm so happy you get to bring your chaos to my side of the
I'm
chaos.
I'm excited to have my chaos here. I will warn you, Langston, when your episode comes out, I had to bleep a lot of stuff.
Oh, really? Is it because I was pushing the buttons? What happened? What did I do that took us over the edge?
It's not even your fault. It's my petty ass fault. When I started naming the tags of people that I was mad at.
Sure.
So I had to bleep out their tags, and then you started naming them. And so we say it a lot. It's very funny.
I think anytime somebody antagonizes a person, I grew up as, I don't know how you were as a child, but I grew up as an instigator. I was very much a person who I didn't want to fight anybody, but I was very happy to see a fight break out and be like, I can't believe he said that to you. What are we going to do about this? And just see how that all played out.
So you were in the instigator choir. So when somebody says something fire, you were like, ooh.
Oh,
you going to take that from him?
And the key is to say it enough that they can hear you, but not loud enough that the other person who otherwise might turn against you can hear it. You know what I mean? It's a very specific art form that I think I mastered as a young person.
I like that about you. I'll tell you the art form that I mastered. I was never an instigator. Mm-hmm. But if you really like got me mad, then like I would pretend like I could fight.
Okay.
And the one time I took it too far, I'll say this, fuck. Okay, so
let's be clear. I'm not going to bleep it. I'm going to leave this shit in here. So if you name names, that's
no
on
names.
You.
No names. So in college, I accidentally stole this girl boyfriend. It was an accident.
Wow.
It was all an accident. I'm not that type, I swear. But it had happened. And so I felt bad. So she was like, this is when Twitter, like I had just gotten a Twitter. So back then you had like kind of like you followed people that you knew mostly. So
right. It was a friends and family app for a while. And then it branched out to people who were funny or smart or problematic.
All those things.
Yeah.
This is the Kevin Hart dollhouse phase
sure.
of Twitter. give y'all a real landmark for when this was.
That is, sorry to cut you off, but that is a fascinating moment to think that Kevin Hart was tweeting that just for his friends and family, where he's like, if my kid ever come out gay, I'm going to beat it over the head with a dollhouse. And his mom was like, or dad was like, hell yeah, son, go ahead.
Right, that's what it was. That was family reunion Twitter, where you said right. dumb shit and you only thought your family saw it. And so she was tweeting about me the whole time, like, oh, she's such a bitch and she's a whore and all this stuff. And I was just letting her make it, because I was like, you know, this situation was foul. I got to take my lashes. Like, I'm going to just put my head down for this, mm-hmm. right? Then she told my homeboy that she didn't plan on stopping. And at this point, she had started making up somebody. I gave her cancer. It was just crazy. Anyway.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like Michael Douglas style? Like that somehow your vagina had given her cancer? How did that work?
I don't even know. And she was just crazy. So it got to a point where I was like, okay, this can't go on any longer. Like, I was going to let her rock. But she talk about all year she going to mm-hmm. be like this? Oh, nah.
Yeah.
So I found her address, because it's college. Like, you just ask around, like, where so-and-so stay at?
Oh, you pulled up. Okay.
I pulled up. And I have the worst kind of friends, because they're like you. They're the instigator. Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, I can't let this fly. So I'm in my workout clothes. And while one of my homegirls, she was like, oh, you should put some Vaseline on your face so the punches slide off.
I love that. I love that she's encouraging you with shit that we saw in 90s videos. She's just like, all right, you got to use the Vaseline and make sure you take your earrings off in front of her so that she knows you mean
right,
business.
Right, leave them on until right before you feel like it's going to escalate. So I went to this girl's house and waited until she came home with Vaseline on my face and workout clothes and cussed her out. And I told her, I was like, if you ever do this shit again, I will pop out the bushes on your ass. Like, I've never gotten in a fight in my life. Like,
yeah, sure.
But I was like, I will prove to this girl that I'm scary.
Yeah. You know how I know you had never gotten in a fight? Because you put the Vaseline on and then didn't fight. That's not how that works. The girls that actually use Vaseline, they did it for, you don't grease up your face to not do nothing. Like, finish the job, Lacey. What are we doing?
I don't want to do violence to people, and I don't want them to do it to me, okay? I only got one face. I'm trying to sell this face as long as I can.
Sure. You're doing great. What a great way to start this podcast. I have to be honest, I'm really excited to get into your conspiracy theory.
I am too.
You had a wonderful conspiracy theory that I think is probably true for almost every race. I think this is one of the first conspiracy theories we've had where, like, it feels like it touches every community, every race. Everybody sort of believes some version of this thing. We are the world of conspiracy theory options. You said, my mama told me.
Ginger ale and crackers can cure anything.
And also prescription lay down.
Okay. A prescribed lay down. A regular lay down ain't gonna do shit for you.
No. You gotta have somebody to tell you to go lay down.
See, what you need is to lay down.
Mm-hmm. And you're gonna be watching Victor Newman on Young and the Restless, and suddenly you're healed.
Sure. All that disease just lifts off of your body, and you're free to go about your day.
And this actually started with my grandmother. I used to spend summers with my grandmother, which my mom had me at 21. She was in college, so she was finishing up her degree, doing whatever. And when I think about it, I'm like, every summer I spent with my grandparents, I'm like, my mom was probably out here wilding because she was very young. I'm like, this hoe was probably at the club. Right. She was like studying and shit, but
my mom had me at 20. I don't think my mom was wildin'. I think my mom's a little more of like a homebody conservative person. Mm-hmm. But I do distinctly remember my mother like taking me to class with her and like me sitting in the back of classrooms while she's learning and like not really processing that, like, oh, this was a kid figuring out how to be a full person in front of their kid. You know what I mean?
Right. That's exactly, because when I turned 21, it stopped seeming like an older age to me. I was like, oh, I don't know shit. I'm young. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, damn, shout out to my mom for not killing me. Like, right. Wow. Like, I mean, she did way more than that. My mom's fantastic. But I was like, sure. I don't know if I would have made it past, like, keep the baby alive.
Right. Like, I got real drown a baby in a bathtub energy at 21. I got to praise be to a lady who was able to do not that.
I at least got put some pillows around the baby and then went to the store real quick.
Give you a little fort. You good? Go ahead.
You're good. You're going to be all right.
Wait, so your grandmother subsequently spent a lot of time with you, yeah. Is what I'm gathering. And in that, she tells you about all these remedies.
Yeah, in my formative years. And it's funny because my grandma kind of indoctrinated me into like a death cult. I know that sounds crazy, but it's not okay. As crazy as it sounds. It's just like my grandma's energy was always like, I'm going to die soon.
Oh.
Which is a lot when you're a child.
Yeah.
But it was always like, oh, well, you know, we living in our last days. That was every day was our last days.
That's a lot for a kid to be able to process.
Every day was our last day, sure. Child. And she was always like, oh, well, you know, you can sing. So, you know, I want you to sing in my funeral. And it's like, Grandma, like, it's Tuesday. It's 2 p.m. Like, why are we talking about this?
Yeah. Okay, wait. So when she's talking about all this, like, mortality, is she saying that for all of us? Or is she saying that specifically for her? Like, is she like, it's my last days? Or is it all of our last days? And you might live a little longer than me, but we all going.
It varied. Like, when she talked about her funeral, obviously she was talking about herself. But mm-hmm. Then she would also always be like, we living in our last day. So we included me. So I was like, I just got here. The fuck, we?
Right. I haven't like, even tasted Cavassier yet. What the fuck am I dying for already?
Gotta taste Cavassier before I die. Gotta pass it. Pass the Cavassier to me. That's my dying wish. No, so she, like, I remember once, I have asthma, but it's, like, seasonal, mm-hmm. And it's triggered by allergens. So, specifically cedar trees. If I come in contact with, like, that certain type of tree, it'll trigger my asthma. It recently happened to me. Last time I was on a set, I had to go to the hospital.
Oh, shit.
So, when I was a kid, I had this really long asthma attack. And, like, my lungs were super tight for, like, days. And my grandma gave me prescription lay down. And they gave me ginger ale and they gave me crackers. And I had an asthma attack for 3 days before I finally went to the hospital. And they had to, like, inject me with an EpiPen to get my lungs to open back up.
Wow. So none of the prescriptions seemed to work until...
I don't know. Maybe they did. You know, maybe they kept me alive.
Sure.
And then I made it to the hospital.
By your suggestion, it wasn't so much of a permanent solution as it was something that sustained you long enough to then be stabbed with an EpiPen and
that's how I think of it, because I believe in prescription ginger ale personally is Schweppes for me.
Schweppes. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about where you're from, because I do think ginger ale ultimately is a regional thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, what you're most passionate about tends, as far as ginger ale is concerned, comes from location and right. where are you from?
I'm from Texas, so mm-hmm. We did have Canada Dry as well, and I'll get a Canada, but everybody knows that Schweppes just gets your throat, like, nothing just gets your throat raw like a Schweppes, like, just clears everything out.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't like the way you say Schweppes. It has an erotic tone to it that... that my listeners are going to find distasteful. This is a family podcast, and I don't want any of the children at home.
The children at home. I hope children aren't listening to you, Langston.
Them little niggas don't like the way you're saying Schweppes. I know that. No, I personally am a Canada Dry man myself. If I have to go back to ginger ale, I've since given it up just because it's pure sugar. It's just nothing but syrup with, like, the promise of remedy, I guess, on the other end. But I definitely, Schweppes would be my second of the options.
There's some ginger in there. There's a little ginger in there.
It might be. There might be something. You know where I don't buy into ginger ale is, what is it, Verner's? It's a no for me, dog.
Really?
Yeah, I don't, that one.
See, Verner's is okay, but you know where I'm at now in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Fever Tree.
Whoa, I've never even heard of that.
You ain't have Fever Tree? Okay, so no. This one really, like, this honestly, like, I feel like Schweppes was, like, over the counter.
Yep,
and
okay.
And then Fever Tree is under the counter ginger ale, because
sure.
When you get that joint, first of all, it's clear. That's how you know it's real.
Okay.
And at the bottom, it's like settled ginger, like, components. Because if you really juice ginger, which I used to have to do back in the day when I worked in the Hamptons, if you juice real raw ginger, at the bottom, all the little sediment will start to sit. So when you see that sediment, that's how you know that's some juice ginger.
Okay.
And it burns.
So this Fever Tree organization is saying, we're tired of being confused with these other products that may or may not have any ginger in them.
Right.
And so subsequently, we're going to put some little ginger chips right at the bottom, like Goldschlager, to make it clear that this is
no,
in fact that
sediment.
Pure shit.
Yeah. It's just sediment. So if you put real ginger juice in there, there's going to be sediment. You know what I mean? Like when you get a Tylenol from the, you know, off the, you know, over the counter, like you get a little, what, like acetaminophen, but then you get some codeine Tylenol, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like that hit different. So the Fever Tree got that codeine in it.
Right. It's the difference between like a Oscar Mayer hot dog and them kosher hot dogs. Them other, like the Oscar Mayer, it could be anything in there. Hair, bone, whatever they mushed up to make a hot dog. But them kosher hot dogs, those are prayed over hair and bones that get mixed into the hot dogs.
So you know God covering you when you eating the pig toe. And that's what you need.
These are the pigs we loved. We took care of these pigs differently.
Before we murdered them. These pigs lived a good life.
That's always a fascinating promise that they make to us. Is like, no, we really love this chicken. I know you're going to eat it, and I know we cut
its
head off.
But you don't want a pig that's walking by faith?
Mm.
Like, I want my pig anointed. You know what I mean?
Okay. I hear you. I don't give a damn how my pig prays. That's just me. But, you know.
I want my pig to be a bishop, head clergyman. My pig pays tithes every Sunday, okay? Giving all honor to God.
I love that. Good for that pig. I hope he's in heaven with other pigs doing whatever saintly pigs do. Okay, so your grandmother gave you this prescription of lay down, this prescription of crackers, this prescription of ginger ale.
Yes.
It ultimately saves you enough to make it to the hospital, get your EpiPen. Do you then move on with your life now as a practicing member of the community that believes in ginger ale and lay down? Or are you now just more skeptical about the whole thing?
No, I still believe. At some point, I would love to have a company that just sends out care packages which have ginger ale, crackers. They have to be saltine.
I was about to say, I was going to ask you, what type of crackers are we talking about?
They have to be saltine. That's just, I'm a traditionalist, you know?
I
would send out Fever Tree in my care package and a pillow.
Mm.
Yes.
All right,
and then a channel guide for what TV shows are healing, such as Paladin, which is an old Western.
Never heard of it.
Gunsmoke, another old Gunsmoke. Western. Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Great show.
Dick Van Dyke.
Okay.
Young and the Restless, and sometimes As the World Turns.
Wow. So you just only spent time with an old lady for the whole of your youth. Because those were my punishment shows. Those were like the shows that, like, when nothing else was on, but I was fighting sleep and, like, dealing with whatever anxiety existed for a 10-year-old that I didn't know how to articulate, that's what I would watch. It wasn't out of joy. I wasn't watching Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman because this was, in fact, a good thing for my 10-year-old spirit.
Really?
No.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman taught me how to take pills.
Okay.
I still take my pills the same. Not like the rapper pills.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. All right. Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. This is a new conspiracy theory. Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman is out here promoting drug. out here promoting drug abuse. Yep.
No. Because like I learned like when you take a pill or if you have to take a lot of pills or if like vitamins are really big, instead of putting the dry pills in your mouth first, you fill your like you drink water, you fill your mouth with water and then you throw the pills in there with the water and you swallow it all at once and you don't even feel them go down.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this all came from Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Yes.
For me, I usually watch TV for strong narratives, but I love that you're using it for self-help tips, and that's cool, too.
Hey, you can get a lot out of it, okay? Oh, and Touched by an Angel, I have to add that, and Walk a Texas Ranger.
Okay, hell yeah. I love that.
Very healing television shows, along with your saltines and Fever Tree.
Did you ever see the episode where Haley Joel Osment tells Walker, Texas Ranger that he has AIDS?
Yes!
Ooh, television has changed. I'll say that. Man, that's not a thing that could happen anymore.
In quarantine, I've been watching Girlfriends, Living Single, The Parkers. Mm-hmm. And it was like a time when Black women started to really go on the rise for new HIV infections. So every show has like HIV episodes, and they're the most random thing. It'll be like somebody will start dating somebody and they'll be like, oh, I have AIDS. Or like this woman and Joan were beefing over a wedding, and because Joan had like said the woman stole her boyfriend in college, and she was like, yeah, you stole my boyfriend, I was supposed to be with him. And she was like, do you want him? He gave me AIDS.
Holy like,
this
shit.
This really jumped. Like, how did we get here?
And then it's one of the like the piano playing sad music.
Yeah. They fade out.
Looks like we've got a serious episode on this one, folks.
And then they do statistics at the end. They're like, Black women, this hell.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was helpful, though. You know,
I was about to say, maybe this is how we got out of that rising crisis, was that episode of the Parkers. That,
yeah, Black sitcoms, I love to do a trans joke. And I was like, and you know what was funny? I could always tell it was about to happen. And I was like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But, I think we know better now.
Hard part about, I think, revisiting. And I personally don't think that we have the right to revisit these things and then like put a big crazy judgmental eye on it, because I think a lot of the things that we were being told to laugh at by these shows, mm-hmm, we were laughing at in real life. And so any judgment we're placing on the television, we should probably place on ourselves and really spend that time analyzing why we thought it was funny at the time, more than saying like,
or acceptable, how
dare you have done a thing that we all thought was really cool at the time. Like, no, we were idiots, and now we're not, and we should acknowledge that. Anyway, Kevin Hart's my hero, and I don't think he did anything wrong. No, I'm joking. Before we go to break, talk to me a little bit about why saltine crackers as a must for this remedy that you're talking about.
So when your stomach is in a delicate place, as mm-hmm, it is a lot of times when you are an invalid, okay? An invalid, for y'all, vocab word, that means sick.
Uh-huh.
That's so pretentious of me. Like, I know you guys don't know this word. No.
No, listen, my listeners are idiots. Go ahead. Tell them all the words they don't know.
No, they're
fucking fools. Why would they even still be listening
to
this
bullshit?
It's also
an old-timey word.
It's a Dr. Quinn medicine woman.
I think I got it from like a Molière play, and it just stayed in my lexicon forever. But like, so when you are an invalid, you know, you have the delicate stomach, a saltine, you know, it's the closest to an air food that you can get. You know mm-hmm what I mean? It's just pure starch and salt, and it can coat the stomach in a way that, you know, not many things can, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason why at church you get a wafer. You know what I mean? Because that's bread. That's close to God. So you ingesting the bread, the body of, you know, the Christ into your body, along with the ginger ale to heal you.
So you're saying that saltines are as close to God as crackers can be without any impurities or other things sort of being added to the mix.
Yes, saltines are the most godly food, I believe. You know, Jesus was handing out saltines like he was Oprah giving out cars. You know, the girls got loaves, you know?
Look under your chair, and they mad as hell, like, bitch, this is bread. I want it. What? This isn't going to solve my problems, Jesus. I wanted something better. What are we doing?
Right. It's like, Jesus, I thought you at least was going to give me some of them braided sandals. You got us walking all the damn time.
And you got this long-ass, fresh-ass robe on. Here I am in tattered garb. Give me some of that. You're giving me goddamn bread. Fuck you, Jesus. That's what they said.
Wow.
Look, that's a scripture I read.
Jesus, I would like you to know I have nothing to do with this man, okay? I will keep eating your body, which is the saltine cracker, mm-hmm, and pigs that I know you are kicking it with right now.
All right, well, Jesus has turned on me, but Lacey's still in his good graces. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more Lacey Mosley and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
You want you could do so you want him to do you so much you could do anything.
Yeah, we're back here with more Lacey Mosley and more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about that Curel ginger ale, saltine crackers, and a prescribed lay down, the perfect fix to all of your problems. Has there been a time recently where you've used that combo to get yourself out of a little bit of a sickness?
Yes, I have. And this is back pre-Rona. Don't judge me.
Okay.
I hope one of the cultural shifts will be that Americans no longer feel pride in having to go to work sick.
Sure.
Because that was just way too common. We right. all just accepted that if flu season meant niggas was gonna get the flu. Like, no, we didn't have to get the flu the whole time. We're just like, oh, you know, flu season. No, we could just not get the flu. Or if we get it, stay the fuck home. Why don't we accept that?
What do you want from me? I had to cough in your mouth. It's flu season. It's like, no, we could have avoided this. Absolutely.
So I had to work, and I think it was the last commercial I think I'll ever do, because I don't like commercials. But you know, they can bring you some coin, and this one was like a national for Snickers. So I was like, fine, I'll do it. And so I go in, it's a hot ass mess. There's 150 extras. They don't know where to put me. I'm sick. I got, and this is like, fuck niggas, yo. I was like casually seeing this guy and we kissed. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, oh, by the way, I'm getting over a cold.
Oh,
now,
man.
He did say it before we kissed. It's my fault. But getting over for me means that you're not contagious. Because
right.
if you are an adult, you know that the first 3 days that you get a cold, you are contagious.
Yeah.
So after that, you're not. And this fool was fully in the middle of a cold. So
yeah.
the next day I wake up and I was like, I have a cold now. So my stomach was just like, no girl. So I had my saltines and I had my ginger ale and I had to stand outside in like 30 degree weather and like shoot this commercial.
First.
But the saltines and the ginger ale kept me upright.
I got you. And this was, you did all this for Snickers, right? Wasn't that, what was
yes.
it? Did they give you guys Snickers too? Were you eating Snickers?
No.
Okay, great.
It was like, it was a Super Bowl commercial. We were at a hole in the middle of the woods. Talk about
Christ.
We was going to dig a hole and put a huge Snicker in it. And then they had a crane that like lowered a very large Snicker into a hole. That was all graphics,
man.
But the hole was real.
Sure.
So we just sang in front of a hole, child.
But that said, the ginger ale and crackers helped you make it through what otherwise would have been just you singing and being sick in the woods.
Yes.
I love that. I love that.
The ginger ale really got my throat fresh.
Mm.
You know, I felt like I had a baby throat, like the throat was just on infant, you know,
okay.
like a fresh baby throat. Because, you know, baby throats, woo, can they, oh my God, like the screaming all the time, like
just,
that baby throat be.
You got that refurbished throat. I love that. All right. I want to dig into some research with you because I actually think that there's a fair amount of examples
mm-hmm.
of things that sort of prove exactly what you're saying, that saltine crackers and ginger ale do, in fact, have the potential to cure a lot more than we give them credit for. So let's start with the basics. Saltine crackers, which I'm glad that's your cracker of choice. It says that saltines help nausea because the crackers soak up
mm-hmm.
irritant-causing acids in your stomach, and they're less likely to cause more nausea because they don't have a smell, really. That, like,
mm-hmm.
their lack of, like, other ingredients, their closeness to God, as you put it.
Mm-hmm. Purity.
Their purity allows for them to not induce nausea in other ways. So you're already nailing it with saltines.
Shout out to my mama.
Shout out to your mama. Shout out to your grandma. Shout out to whoever invented saltine crackers. You didn't go for flavor. You didn't go for a look. You knew this is a cracker of function, and you just nailed it. Good for you.
The cracker is ugly as hell.
Ugly
and
as cracker.
And the box is ugly as hell, too.
They didn't
try it all. They said, look, these sell themselves. Put them shits in a plastic sleeve and get out of here. Like
they put it down. They said, They'll know what it is. They'll know what the fuck I got going on here.
Everybody doing marketing. I feel like I don't even see commercials for saltines. They're like, the girls know we're here. They know what aisle we're on.
Right. Yeah, there used to be those crackers where they would present it as like, this is the fancy cracker that you use mm-hmm. when you want to impress your guests. This is how you'll have sex with a woman if you pull out these crackers.
But yeah, with a little cheese, a little yeah. red wine.
Yeah, exactly. But the saltines was like, nah, motherfucker, you trying to survive? Get saltines.
You can also put grape jelly on them or American processed cheese. Enjoy.
Like, I'm being told.
They'll be the recipes on the back of a Ritz cracker. They'd be like, peanut butter and jelly.
Right. Like, this is groundbreaking information. You could put other stuff on this and make it less like a cracker and more like a sandwich somehow. I'm being told by my producer, Olivia, that F.L. Summer and Company invented saltines in 1876. They've been around since 1876.
Damn, so you know slaves made them crackers.
Goddamn.
You know, slavery was over, but,
oh,
but I don't,
hold
I don't
on.
Need to.
So that's how they get you.
I don't need to think about the creators. I'm sure they were bad men if
right.
it's that old of a company.
Right. There's a reason F.L. Summer wanted like a white box with these white crackers and a white bag. And like, oh, it turns out he's a monster. But goddamn, he smashed them crackers. He did great.
He did. He made the hell out of them crackers. And I'm going to keep eating them racist crackers.
And that's the thing is we don't give racists enough credit for the good things that they do out in the world. You know, like, yeah, you're a bigot. Yeah, you're destroying the very foundation of the way that humans should function in the world. But God, you nailed these crackers, Mr. Summer. Go crazy.
Yes, we'll give you your flowers for that.
Okay, let's talk ginger ale. Because ginger, which ideally is the key ingredient in ginger ale.
Ideally. We do live in America, so
exactly.
No guarantees.
There we go. But ginger ale contains something called gingerol, which is the main bioactive compound. And gingerol has like an insane list of potential remedies that it helps with. It aids digestion. It reduces nausea, specifically for like nausea related to like morning sickness or even chemotherapy. It helps fight the flu, common cold. It helps with weight loss, low cholesterol, menstrual pain, chronic indigestion. It lowers your blood sugar, heart disease. It can help with certain cancers and even potentially fights off Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. It also helps with ugliness. If you got a fuckboy you trying to get over, also helps with that. Sip a little ginger ale. Stop texting him, you know? The possibilities are endless.
Sure. Now, see, this is where I'm going to challenge you a little bit, because what I was referring to is ginger ale. Right? Ginger ale does all those good things. Ginger ale, as many scientists have pointed out at this point, is basically just a giant sugar juice and doesn't often contain any ginger at all, and therefore has no remedy to it whatsoever. So all these ugly cures and fuckboy preventatives that you're talking about may not in fact be cooked into your Schweppes that you're so deeply in love
it
with.
It is. And you know, you've heard of placebo effects. Even if it ain't no ginger ale in there, my body thinks it's ginger ale
sure.
in there and it's helping me. You see what I'm saying? So it might as well be some ginger ale in there because it's still curing you.
And I'm so glad you said that, because a lot of the scientists and doctors who do acknowledge that ginger ale is not in fact one of the key ingredients that's kicking around in ginger ale also acknowledge that because ginger ale has become synonymous with us like sort of getting remedies and treatment, they do say that the placebo effect is a valuable component in our health, that like they give it to us at hospitals not because the shit actually works, but because we think it works and therefore we'll start to feel better because of, you know, our
Which
own brain
that it works.
All right. That's one
Even
way
if,
of interpreting
listen,
it.
Listen, if your brain is convinced that it works, that means that it works. If we get to the same end, right? Just different means, right? But if I sip on it and I'm like, ooh, my intestines. to flourishing. You know what I mean? If I feel that and then I do flourish, then that's the same thing as if it had been a pill with, you know, ginger all in it or whatever.
Listen, I think you're making a valid point. I don't know that I've ever out loud said my intestines are flourishing. Maybe it's a feeling that I've had more often than I'd like to acknowledge.
You probably have. I mean, look, if you don't feel like your intestines are suffering, then they're probably flourishing.
They're flourishing.
So, you know what I mean? We just get too used to it. But that's fair. That ginger ale is popping in your system. It's just like anything else. You know what I mean? Like, I tell people all the time on my podcast, like, it's not a lie if you believe it. So
I love that. So in essence, ginger ale sort of has a very scam goddess energy. It is. Yes. It is getting by on its own supply, and it's functioning in a way that allows for people to feel healed. So great, you're killing it, ginger ale.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some more fascinating information about ginger. In the Middle Ages, ginger was used as a prophylactic for the bubonic plague. That basically people were worried that the bubonic plague was being transferred sexually, and I guess they were putting little pieces of ginger on their dicks and vages and keeping that somehow from spreading this terrible disease that was killing everybody.
I heard about a lemon, but I feel like these wouldn't that burn? I don't know.
Hey, some people like it spicy down there, and I think that's important. Go crazy.
I don't know if it needs to be spicy down there, but at least, you know, back in the day, they wasn't washing their asses. So, you know, if they put a little ginger on it, hopefully it smells a little better.
Sure.
I think about that all the time when I watch olden time shows, and, you know, it's mostly white people in them. Because if it's an olden time show with black people, for some reason, it always has to be slavery.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, we did have more than them 300 years. Just FYI, yeah. Y'all. We was kings.
Sure, most of us can't trace our histories back enough to know if we were in fact kings, but somebody was a king back then. Talk about that shit.
We was kings, okay? I was a king, you was a king, we was all kings. But yeah, so like I always think about that when they be kissing stuff. I'm like, I know they ain't brushed their mouths. Mm-hmm. Ooh, just like, I hate a sex scene in an olden time movie because I just imagine it being funky.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, there's no way that you are effectively cleaning any of your parts, including your mouth. So all of this shit was funky as shit. So maybe right. Ginger was better. Maybe it just added a slightly more fragrant
little effervescence.
Yeah.
We need that. Except for now, I hope it's not going to be guys out here like, what? I put a little ginger on. Like, no, that's not a condom. That's not a condom. Don't start going to Whole Foods, y'all, and trying to thinly slice ginger.
I ain't got no more lifestyles, but I got some ginger in the cupboard, and we could make that work.
Please don't. Please do not do this.
So I started asking myself, where did ginger ale come from? Because it became so important to the way that we understand health in this country, or certainly like the idea of feeling better in this country. Where did it come from? And basically it says that ginger ale came out of basically pharmacists and scientists you're right. It's pharmacists and people wanting to take advantage of this relationship of health and ginger and all the good things that ginger ale does, and basically decided to take the alcohol out of ginger beer. So ginger ale was them creating a non-alcoholic version of ginger beer. And so this dude, Thomas Cantrell, an American apothecary living in
distant
Ireland.
Distant relative of Blue Cantrell.
Yes. I believe the great-great-grandfather of Blue Cantrell, Thomas Cantrell, living in Ireland, carbonated his drink with soda water. And instead of yeast, began exporting this ginger-based beverage to the U.S. around 1850, right? And then a Detroit pharmacist named James Verner, created a blend of ginger, vanilla, and spices.
Damn.
he's the inventor of Verner's, but I assure you, this man ain't black. And so ginger, vanilla, and spices, and he left that in an oak barrel. And then he got called off to fight in the Civil War. Not really sure which side he fought on. He's from Detroit, so I'm hoping the North, but who knows? He might have been one of them self-hating motherfuckers. And then
you acting like niggas had a choice. Niggas didn't want to go to either of them wars. They was like, come on, we going to war. Why?
Damn.
Come on, man. Can you imagine being a nigga on the Confederate side? You like, I ain't got a dog in this fight. In fact, I need us to lose. Like, I feel like if I was a black black Confederate soldier. They'd be like, where did they go? Oh, we just went down to the watering hole. Oh, the battle over?
See, what damn. I would have done if they made me fight on the Confederate side, I'd have ran out there real fast and then pretend. I'd be like, oh, no, they shot me and fell down and just laid there for the whole of the fight. You just gotta quit as quickly as you can.
Right. I think about that a lot, olden time wars, especially the ones with swords. I'm like, y'all must have been tired. Did y'all take breaks? Because I'm like, if you right. gotta stab everybody individually, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, no timeouts. No timeouts right. in war.
So okay. good old Vernon so, went to the war.
Yeah, James Verner, he goes to war. And when he returned from the Civil War, he survived. He was delighted to find that that oak barrel that he had filled had a new flavor of a concoction that he then sold all over the Midwest, which later becomes Verner's ginger ale.
Mm. And you know he got a shoe?
Verner?
That's the Verner shoe.
Oh, it's based on the ginger ale can.
Based on the ginger ale
and
can.
And it's New Balance, so you Which, know it's white supremacist shit.
Yeah,
I
you
love
know that.
That
means he fought for the Confederates.
All right. So then there's another example. In 1904, yet another pharmacist, a Canadian man named John J. McLaughlin, created a paler, drier ginger ale, Canadian dry, one that appealed to those who were put off by the sweetness and pungency of Verner's. Thus, Canada Dry was born. So all of these ginger ales were sort of produced around the same time, somewhere between 1850 to 1904. Now, here's where I started asking more important questions. When did black people start fucking with ginger ale? Because mm-hmm. what's happening there? Like, when did our relationship with it sort of kick in? And it says that part of the thing that brought black people into ginger ale is in the late 1800s, ginger in Jamaica, basically ginger extract was advertised as a remedy for cholera, fever, headache, nervous disability, all kinds of stuff. And then that became popular. Ginger ale became popular because of the promise of ginger being cooked into the drink.
Now, was this, because you know there's that popular Jamaican ginger beer.
Mm-hmm.
Was this like a part of that movement or, because like the ginger beer in Jamaica is strong. Like it
yeah.
makes you
it's spicy.
Wheeze a little bit. It's spicy, yeah.
Yeah, I think what it was like a marketing thing that hit Jamaica real hard where everybody was like, if you're feeling sick, fuck with ginger. And then subsequently, ginger beer and ginger ale took off in the black community because it's like, oh, we all have that and it's easy access. And like you right. said, it already exists here in a way that, you know, later will become more popularized in America.
And not like healthcare and not like white folks experimenting on us, because that still leaves black folks less likely to go to the doctor because of the stigma of doctors. And I mean, doctors are still really bad to black people, especially black women. We're 2/3 of the, I believe that's a statistic of like, what is it called? Mortality when it comes to having children.
Right. That
like we're like significantly outnumbering white women who die in childbirth because they don't believe we're in pain and stuff. So, you know, people like black folks have a really weird sordid history with medical professionals because there's so much racism in there. It's crazy because you never think you go into the doctor and they're going to be doing racism to you.
Yeah.
like you thinking about being sick, you're like, oh, this is a healer. But you forget like, oh, right, I'm black here. So they also are going to try to do some racism
right.
while I'm here.
It's like, hey, man, I came here for an appendix, not whatever you've got going on emotionally and personally with my skin color.
I had to start telling them, like, when I get a new doctor, that's the first conversation I have with them. I'm like, you know, in the past, doctors have been very racist to me when I've asked for things. So, you know, if you deny me treatment, just be prepared to write it down. I have a social media presence. I do like to tweet. Like, I'm just trying to lay down, like, please don't do racism to me. Like, do it, I guess, to the other niggas, but you might want to leave me alone.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Lacey says, do it to them other niggas, just not to me. Racism. I love that. You're not working to abolish racism. You're not trying to take it out of the healthcare system. Just do it to them other niggas. Keep me out of it. Lacey Mosley has spoken.
I'm on Kanye's anti-racism plan, which is just very specific to his own needs.
It is completely about self and also effective. They won't do it to him, and it's working. True. All right, here's what becomes even more fascinating is that ginger ale, after like all these dudes invent a bunch of their own ginger ales, ginger ale becomes the most popular soda from the close of the 19th century up until World War II. That's
what black people do.
Yeah, like it becomes like popping. It's everybody's drinking ginger ale. You don't go anywhere without somebody asking for a delicious ginger ale. And the only reason it stops gaining in popularity around World War II is because resources start to thin because of the war, right? So people can't necessarily afford the ginger drinks that they wanted before. Now, here's where it becomes complicated, because up until that point, the companies were creating a drink that more than likely had a lot more ginger in it. And then right. post-World War II, in a more modern America, they start pulling that bullshit where they start taking ginger out of the drink and just making a soda that people want to drink for sugary purposes.
And we're the only country that is like that, for real, for real. Like, everyone has their artificial products, but America's like, can we make everything fake?
Mm-hmm.
Who is making fake apples? Can we get fake celery? Like, what? Like, it's so weird. I remember I lived in London for a little while, and I was like, why are the eggs not in the refrigerator? They just out?
Right.
When they brown? And I was like, oh, this is like fresh. Oh, y'all ain't tampering with this?
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all ain't even get a chicken B12? Y'all ain't give it nothing?
Right. Like, it turns out that chickens don't lay their eggs in refrigerators, so they can in fact stay outside for longer than we think they can.
They not laying them in refrigerators?
No, they are not. They're they just put them in a coop, and then
the chicken coochie don't get cold.
No.
And then after the egg come out,
that's how they know they're pregnant. They got a real cold. My coochie cold as hell. Huh? I must be with child.
With egg. Oh.
And so here's where it gets even more fascinating, is that even the ginger ale companies that are popular today, your Verner's, your Canada Dry, your Schweppes, as you are so fond of, don't ever have to actually explain what's inside of their drinks or how much ginger wow. is contained in those drinks, because they don't want to, quote unquote, give away their formula.
What?
Yeah.
Now, how you gonna be like, our formula is no ginger, no ginger whatsoever? Bitch, what? I don't think ginger should be a secret ingredient in ginger ale.
And that's the thing. They say there is ginger in it, but they don't want to say how much because they don't want somebody to come in and steal their ideas. It's a big scam.
That's a huge scam. That's like selling water and being like, look, we're not going to tell you how much actual water's in it, okay?
Exactly. This is some parts water. I ain't going to tell you how many parts, but it's got some water up in it. Here's where it gets even more devastating, is that these brands also do not claim that their drinks have any medicinal powers, because that would require them to meet certain regulations of ginger and gingerol qualities, right? Mm-hmm. They instead rely on people to do basically word of mouth advertising for them about the medicinal purposes of their drinks.
And we do a good job of that. Black folks are walking ginger ale advertising.
And I think that's the big takeaway, is whether or not these drinks are actually working is not particularly clear. But what is clear is that people all over the world are happy to do the advertising for these companies, even when they can't actually prove that this shit is true.
And I love it. You know what I mean? Listen, I'll advertise whatever.
Snickers, ginger ale, white supremacist crackers, anything you need, I will put my name on it. Just don't use your racism on me. That's the Lacey Mosley way. I love it.
Wow, way to quote me. No, but for real, like, I remember when George Foreman started making grills, mm-hmm. and it was like, what does this nigga know about grilling? I mean, right. Does he own leather sandals? I don't know. But we was buying that grill, so I want my name to be on just random shit.
That's
candles,
fair.
Contact lenses, just stuff where they're like, what? Why would she have any expertise in selling?
And how did she get her name on contact lenses? This is not good for people to be able to see stuff.
It's just in the corner. It ain't sure. even on the rim. You gonna be good.
It's just those little floaty things. It just says Lacey Mosley.
It's my brand.
Yeah.
It's a little eye floaty.
It's funny you bring up the George Foreman grill because, in fact, I listened to an interview with Hulk Hogan once, known racist Hulk Hogan.
Yes, from Clearwater, Florida.
You get it. Hulk Hogan did an interview where he talked about the fact that the George Foreman grill was, in fact, supposed to be the Hulk Hogan grill. A company came to him and basically said, we've got grills, we've got like blenders, we've got like all these things. What you trying to fuck with, Hulk? And he didn't answer the phone. And then when he finally called them back, they had already given the grill to George Foreman, and Hulk Hogan instead had to get like some bullshit spatula, and it didn't sell well. But George Foreman is now a billionaire because of a grill he just put his name on.
And bruh, it was black folks especially, like, I feel like we did the advertisement for the George Foreman grill.
That's right.
Every black, we had two. My dad went out and got the little one and the big one. Lean green grilling machine. And black folks were like, you got that new George Foreman? You got that new George Foreman? Come on over. We're going to have burgers with that new George Foreman. Like, we did so much work for that for nothing.
For absolutely free. And we helped that brain damaged man go on to become a very successful businessman despite.
Shout out to him. And yeah, Hulk Hogan blenders or whatever the fuck. See, that's what you get for being racist. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody buying your spatula.
Yeah, fuck you, Hulk Hogan. We love you, George Foreman. And if there's anything else you want to put your name on, the black community will sell it for you.
We will. Like, you don't even have to do the advertisement. Table. ceiling fans. Like, just let us know.
George, got you. Coming this fall, George Foreman waist trainers. We are going to help these become the most popular waist trainers on all of the internet. I'm so excited to see them.
Yes. All you need is a couple of those Fashion Nova girls. Slaying that. My running joke on Twitter or Instagram too is that I want to just get enough followers to where I can be a tea influencer.
Okay.
Now I've just been striking out Lipton on boxes and putting fit tea. But I want to sell diarrhea tea and be like, yeah, sure. I don't work out at all. It's literally just the tea. I don't work out 5 days a week. It's the tea.
Sure, I shit for hours and hours a day. But the tea, I don't have to do anything.
Have you ever felt like your intestines were just like a wide open freeway?
Are your intestines not thriving, but somehow your booty and titties are? You got to drink this tea. That's the key. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right, we're going to take one more break and we'll be back with more Lacey Mosley and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
You got what I need.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, we're back here with more Lacey Mosley, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about them flat tummy tees and the difference between a regular flat tummy tee and a Lipton flat tummy tee, which is just what Lacey uses when she crosses out the Lipton title so that she can sell it diarrhea to the girls on the internet.
Yes, the girls need diarrhea.
Have you ever fallen for it? Has there ever been one of those things where like you got trapped in whatever they were offering you?
No, I did own a waist trainer. I will say that I used to wear a waist trainer to when I waited tables. I would wear a waist trainer the whole shift. Yeah. It actually would help with my back, but yeah, I would be like sucked the fuck in. You know, just organs just in there.
Yeah, just organs mushing together in a way that they're not supposed to.
Sexy, you know. But no, I remember I actually went to the store and I found Fit Tea in a Walgreens once, and wow. I love to like Instagram stories. So I was like, y'all, should I buy this? And everyone was like, no, it's just gonna make you shit for days. And I was like, that's not fun.
You're not telling me what them abs gonna look like though, dog.
Yeah, are the abs gonna be cute? Because when I had the flu, like, I was snatched. I was like, damn, like, I should just really get the flu more. Yeah. Maybe that's why flu season is popping. Everybody's like, no, we just like to get it.
That's why they sending people to work. They're like, I'm trying to get the flu too. I'm trying to look good.
But also, like, I don't like to talk too much about, like, the weight loss stuff because all of it is a scam and all of it's super fat phobic. And I'm like, whatever body you like and what you want your body to look like, go the fuck off. Now, if you would like to shit also while doing that, buy my Fit Tea.
Sure. And I think if they were being more responsible, they would say exactly that. Like, look, your body, your choice. You should feel comfortable the way that you are. There's no reason for you to doubt even for a second that the way that you're built, there's something wrong with it, that you need to fix it. But if you're trying to spend that money and shit yourself, I got you.
Got you. If you would like to make this poor choice of like straight up vacuuming out your intestines, let me know. We got it for you, sis.
Yeah, that's the failure of capitalism, is that it just doesn't tell you all the parts. It's not that we don't have the right to sell these things. I think you should have the right to sell those things. You should just be a little more transparent about what the repercussions and or experiences that are going to come out of it.
And that's what's so bad about television is, like, we've cultivated this atmosphere where, like, I used to think that blonde hair was, like, a very common type of hair on white women, but it's actually extremely uncommon. It's just that, like, you see a lot of blonde white women on television, so you think that there are more than what there are.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with, like, skinny-ass women on TV. It's, like, most of our country is considered overweight mm-hmm. in some way. It's, like, can't we just start throwing them up on TV and acting like it's normal? Because, like, that's what's happening. Yeah. Whenever I see people fat shaming on the internet, I always click on their profiles and I'm like, what?
Come on, dog. You yucky. What you doing?
Not even yucky. I'm like, you fat. It's okay to be fat, but, like, why are you mad at everybody else for being fat? I'm on Lizzo's comments all the time to prepare myself for people being mean to me.
Oh, I was about to say, Lizzo, the way people talk to Lizzo, I got sad in a way that I can't even go back and check on her. It's just like, that's...
I try to go and put some positivity in. I put my likes or whatever, but I always think about that because I'm like, the more I work, the more people find me on the internet. I'm like, they like me now, but they're going to start being mean to me soon. So I read other people's comments to gear up for the meanness.
Well, that's what's crazy is, like, she was thriving. She was doing great for, like, a 2-year period where everything she did, we celebrated it. We told her how beautiful she was. She was groundbreaking. Look at you twerking. It jiggles more than the twerks we're used to, but we love it. Like, everything was positive. And then as soon as she did something that exceeded people's expectations for her, they immediately, like, turned her into, like, some sort of monster, when it's none of that. It's just a nice lady being silly on the internet and making, you know, good music.
That's what they do when you rise to fame. Remember Tiffany Haddish? Like, I love her. I think she's so nice. I've only interacted with her a few times, but she was so sweet. And, like, when she was rising up, they were like, Tiffany, yes. Yeah. And then as soon as she got world pop, and everybody was like, we hate you now. And I'm like, this keeps happening, especially with black women. Y'all better lift these queens up.
Yeah.
Playing with me.
Or just let them live. You ain't, I don't know. Like, I'm in a space where it's like, if at any point this is distasteful to you to the point that you want to say, just let it live. It ain't bugging nobody. Tiffany.
Get in your group chat like a normal person. I have snarky comments about celebrities sometimes, and you know what I do? I send it to my group chat.
Yeah.
I don't, like, tag the person and be like, I think you have a lazy eye. Right. Like, why? Like, why?
No, why I tell the 6 people I care about most that they have a lazy eye, and then we talk about it for hours. And I pray that group chat never becomes public, because it'll ruin my career and everyone else's around me. But for now, they're the only people that know.
That's why you gotta start sending voice messages, the ones where you can't keep it. Oh, come on now, you gotta get with the time. Also, scam tips, you can delete Instagram messages that you send to people.
Oh, I love
that.
You
can send a message and then steal it back.
Oh, shit. You read it. Like a little invisible ink. I love that. That's mm-hmm. great. Okay, let's play a game. I wanna play a game with you, and this is a very fun game that I like to call
Homemade Hotel.
Okay, this is Homemade Hotel.
My third eye opening.
Yeah, open right that now. Bad boy up. And the way that this game works is I'm going to introduce to you a fact, a standard true fact out in the world. And what I would like for you to do is to hotep the shit out of it. Bring in all the conspiratorial crazy that you think you need to make this fact feel less like a fact and more like something that is destructive to the black community or the people around it. Okay?
Okay.
Got it. Great. So your fact today, the U.S. government, starting in 2018, stopped keeping every tweet, but instead just now basically saves a very selective amount or certain selective group of tweets. But between 2006 and 2017, the U.S. government saved every single public tweet, every single one. It's like kept in a database somewhere from 2006 to 2017. Why do you think that is? Hotep that shit for me. Make it as homemade Hotep as you wish.
Wow. So, wow. First of all, first and foremost, giving all honor to God, Pastor. Kings and queens.
Mm-hmm.
In 2006, I want to talk to you about a man. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about a man whose name is Barack Hussein Obama.
Uh-oh.
And in 2006, this is when he really started getting percolating.
Uh-huh.
This is when he started percolating. Everybody was like, okay, he was an alderman. Now he a senator. And look at this black man rise like a shooting star. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People started whispering. They were like, Negro president. You know? And Twitter knew this. And they saw this thing coming, right? 2006, right?
Yep.
Why do you think that, okay, so we're talking 2006, we're talking presidential run 2007, right? Okay, so we're talking Obama 08, right? Obama's president, right? Everything's black as fuck. You know, they worried about a nigga revolt. You know, all the niggas gonna get excited. Is their black leader gonna come and, you know, it's gonna be Toussaint Louverture all over again. It's gonna be the Haitian Revolution. You know, they thought, like, maybe niggas gonna get too spicy. So let's just keep all of their tweets, right? And that's why in 2017, which is a year after 2016, which what happened in 2016, Trump, right? That's when they stopped saving all the tweets because they was like, we don't even need these shits no more because we don't got a Negro in office anymore. So now we just going to save, like, black Twitter. That's another issue. It's like, but y'all, black Twitter, we started getting a little too organized on Twitter. Now, yeah, it's jokes like nigga Navy and jokes, you know, on anybody in anybody's circumstance. Even when we thought we was going to have World War III, jokes. But now the government knows about black Twitter, where we are. Mm. Like, think about the last time you saw Wendy's tweet. Why Wendy tweet so black? Why does Wendy's have a mixtape? It's all connected. Why does Wendy's have a mixtape? Because black people like mixtapes, and where do they sell them? Out of the trunk of their car. The government is trying to get inside your vehicle.
Ooh.
Ooh. And steer you where they want you to go.
Uh-oh. There it is.
Yes.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. You know nothing about that.
Oh man, that you brought up a lot of powerful shit here. You're saying that there's a real possibility that they started tracking every single tweet as a way of containing this nigga revolution that was building in relation or potentially building in relation to Barack Obama. And then as soon as he was out of office, they no longer needed to collect all of those tweets because they had all the information and documentation that they needed. And for some reason, Wendy's is connected to all of that. You did all the things that a Hotep is meant to do.
Why are the patties square?
Nah, there
that's
it is.
That's all I'm saying. Because they're trying to put niggas in a box. Think about it.
The key to being a good Hotep is, like you said, thank God. And then really connected to a bunch of things that are nonsensical while making a few really
this
good
makes
points.
Perfect sense. Why is Wendy's slogan fresh, never frozen? What do black people like to be? Fresh.
Fresh. Wow.
Think about that. Pontificate on that, kings and queens.
Listen, I'm thinking about it, and I know my listeners at home are also thinking about it, probably in different ways than we anticipated, but they're thinking about it.
Yeah,
it's on
and I mean,
brains.
Pull out your TI dictionary of vocabulary and start putting two and three together.
Exactly. Well, Lacey, I think we did it. You nailed it. You nailed being on the podcast. What a great guest. Could you tell all the people where they can find you, what cool shit you have going on?
Yes. Kings and queens.
Kings
you
and queens.
You can find me.
Don't break character. Stay in it. Don't let me ruin it. Go ahead.
Kings and queens. The original Hebrew Israelites. Y'all can find me at Diva Lacey on all platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to listen to my podcast, which is about robbery and comedy, that's at Scam Goddess Pod on all platforms.
Mm-hmm. Lacey Mosley, so funny. Also, feel free to follow me on all the platforms. I'm not going to do it in character. This is my personality all the time. And also, please, I would love for you to send me drops or potential conspiracy theories that you believe. And specifically, if you want to send voice memos, there's a possibility that we would unpack them on episodes in the future. So please send all those to mymamapod@gmail.com. And otherwise, get the fuck out of here. Bye.